This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I want to play this soundbite from Benny Johnson. He was on with Jesse Waters last night talking about the Democrats rioting in the streets across America once again. And they just put their J6 decorations away. And here they are already rioting in the streets all across America. I'll get to that later in the hour. Another one I want to get to the Attorney General of Minnesota. He got called out by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. I've got that soundbite ready to go as well. But first, let's jump right into the phone lines here. What is the story out of Virginia City, Montana? We've got Robert on the phone lines from Sheridan. Robert, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind? What do you want to share with folks across Montana?
Well, I just wanted people to be aware that that they're changing the leases in Virginia City. The Virginia City Players posted on Facebook that they're going to quit after, I don't know, 70 years of performing because they can't afford the lease changes. I just didn't know if... just wanted people across the street to be aware of what's, what's going on with Virginia City. And, you know, they had an incident where the Heritage Foundation, I guess, whoever was running that, had, stolen like $380,000. And I don't know if the state's trying to recoup that or, you know, they have to maintain those buildings. And I wanted people to be aware of what was going on.
I've been hearing a little bit about this. I should reach out. I've been seeing some stories about this, but I need to dig into it a little bit more. But maybe I'll reach out and see if we can get somebody. I think the Montana Department of Commerce and the Montana Heritage Commission plays a role here. Maybe I could get somebody for one or both of those organizations on to talk about Virginia City. Man, Virginia City is just such an incredible... I mean, you are stepping into history when you walk through Virginia City. It's been a little while since I've walked the streets of Virginia City myself as well. I made it to Ennis and Willie's, of course. But didn't get too much further than that in the Madison River on that trip. But is that what you'd like to see? Let's get somebody from the state, whether it's the governor, the Department of Commerce, or maybe somebody from the Heritage Commission, and see what the deal is in Virginia City.
Yeah, I would hope that whoever was running it before, obviously, if they were stealing money, then they have no business being. You know, Virginia City is the beginning of it all, the whole state. That's where it all started. I would just like, Madison County, if you look up Gronk and see, what's the richest county in Montana, you know how much money that building takes in taxes when you consider the Yellowstone Club, the Spanish Peaks, the whole ski area up there. I mean,
yeah, actually,
there's a lot of money going through that building and,
Oh, yeah. In fact, we talked about that at the Montana Equipment Dealers Convention, actually, with Lou Jones. And he was talking about how Madison County is now the wealthiest county in the whole state, like you say, because of the Yellowstone Club and the development there. All right, Robert, thanks for the call. We got a guest coming up right after this, and then we'll get to more callers later in the hour.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies. Can't rule out a slight chance for a spotty afternoon shower. We'll have high temperatures in the low to mid-50s for Bozeman, but lower 60s expected for Billings. Then for tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a low temperature of 33 degrees for Bozeman, but sticking closer to the middle 30s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to get back to your phone calls here in about another 10 minutes or so, so definitely call back in. I know there was another caller I wanted to get to there, but we just ran out of time. And but now I'm very excited for this guest that we've got on, Brian Massard. You guys know him, Dylan Montana, Reminisce, Angus Ranch. Brian, we have been talking about this. You and I alone have been talking about this for at least a couple of years. RFK Jr. has flipped the food pyramid upside down. What's your reaction?
I'm still smoking cigars, celebrating. I can't believe it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a fantastic day. You know, 45 years, for the first time in 45 years, people are encouraged to use beef tallow and butter for the first time and eat red meat. I mean, it just takes the handcuffs off an entire population that the American Heart Association put those handcuffs on in 1981. They convinced the USDA in 1980 to double down on it, and they convinced them to put ankle cuffs on them in the 90s and 1994, and destroyed rural America, destroyed American health, and people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And wow, it's like a get out of jail free card today. It is huge. It's the biggest thing I think that's happened in the beef industry since 1980.
Wow. Well, and, you know, you have, as you've been joining us on the radio over the years, you have been meeting personally with RFK Jr. Back when he was a presidential candidate, before the Democrats did everything they could to kick him to the curb, you and him were sitting down. He came to Montana, came to your ranch, met with you. His running mate, Shanahan, you've been talking with her about the importance of beef when it comes to how healthy beef is for our diet. And I know for over the last year, or over the last, you know, year or so, you know, you and I have both been wondering, hey, when's this change going to be made? When are they going to, you know, finally make this change when it comes to saturated fats? And now it seems like they did it in a really good way, because they included that piece of a broader, more fundamental food pyramid change altogether.
Yeah, it's a, you know, the journey has been so long on this. And I remember working back, you know, you talked about when he was running for president, and there was a five-man team. We met daily, three times a day, text messages and email conversations. And the pushback from his team was just like, Ryan, stop bringing this up. Stop talking about saturated fat. We have to restore regenerative ag. We have to fix chronic illness. And I would just push back and say, you can't fix either one of those without saturated fat. Rural America is gone because of that lie. People are sick because of that lie. So if those are the two things you want to heal up, that's the primary reason we're in this disaster. So it has got to be the focal point. And RFK, bless him, God, every conversation we were having, he'd just say, educate me, show me these things. And he walked it through. He carried this all the way across the finish line. And then, you know, in the end, it took a long time. It's been a dogfight because, you know, you got these huge food companies making Fruit Loops that are making more money than the farmers growing the wheat and the oats or whatever that go into those Fruit Loops. And so when they flipped this upside down, they didn't tell people stop eating these other things. They said stop eating so much sugar. Stop eating all this refined stuff that just is, your body doesn't know what to do with it. So they included it. But to have beef at the very top of it, and dairy and eggs, and then encourage people to eat that. And you get Marty McCary, and every time Secretary Kennedy speaks, it's, we're ending the war on saturated fat. That's been a lie since 1961, when the American Heart Association lied about it. And it ends, and nobody has had the courage until today to end that lie. And so I just, hats off to Secretary Kennedy. There's so much more to come. and more people can go out and enjoy good food now and not feel guilty about it.
Well, and for our grain farmers out there, David Noble and I were talking about this on Thursday when the news came out. They're stressing whole grains. So instead of, and to me, that's a reminder of like, look, what big food, we have to look at this, we have to separate big food from your everyday farmers, just like we separate the big meat packers from your everyday ranchers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't. They're not telling people not to eat whole grains. I mean, you make bread out of whole grains. That's your first process. They didn't say stop eating that. They did say stop eating so much bread and all your potatoes, all your carbs, and then eat sugar on top of that. They just said, you know, start thinking about those things. And Americans need to do that. I mean, it's easy for me. I've had celiac disease my entire life, and so I don't eat bread. I get, you know, you order a double quarter pounder when you go anywhere, and people look at you and they say, how can you eat that much meat? And it's easy because I don't eat the fries and I don't eat the buns, so I'm not full. And that's another thing they just stressed is just look at the good food, look at the whole food, eat all you want of that, and enjoy your life.
You know, everything that you're saying right now is pretty much what Jillian Michaels, you know, the fitness guru, pretty well-known Jillian Michaels, was on Fox News last night making a lot of these same points about how, you know, with the food pyramid and what they did several decades ago, and people ended up less healthy and more chronic disease, and they stressed bad things instead of good things, and now they're flipping it upside down, and what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and kind of like this Supreme Court case I was talking about a few minutes ago. You know, boys are boys and girls are girls, and protecting girls' sports. Brian Massard, if you can, stick with us. I got to hit this hard break. We got our farm and ranch report from our friend Lane Norland. But, you know, for folks who haven't heard about Reminis Angus Ranch, I want to do a couple more minutes with you if you can. Stick with us, and we'll come back to you right after this. And then we'll have the phone lines open for our listeners if they want to call in after that.
This is House Call for Health. Anyone thinking of making a move for health reasons might consider heading to New Hampshire. The United Health Foundation's annual rankings list the Granite State as the healthiest state in the U.S. Researchers looked at nearly 100 factors, including premature death, excessive drinking, chronic conditions, drug deaths, exercise, and smoking. The report finds overall the country is making progress on health issues. The research finding national mortality rates improving with a drop in the rates of premature death and drug death. And there's been an uptick in cancer screenings, physical activity, and volunteerism. The study puts Louisiana in last place for the fourth consecutive year. It ranked in the bottom five in social and economic factors, behaviors, physical environment, clinician care, and health outcomes. You can look up your state at americashealthrankings.org. Or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The new year.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Enrollment for USDA's ARC and PLC programs will not open until after the 2026 planting season. That announcement comes as USDA readies a 61-page final rule implementing updates required by the One Big Beautiful Bill of 2025. Key changes include higher PLC reference prices, a 90% guaranteed level for ARC, and expanded base acre eligibility for farmers with historically non-program crops. USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Richard Fordyce said the delays are due to the Farm Service Agency workload and the complex nature of implementing the new federally mandated provisions. According to the rule, farmers will likely know their 2026 production and yields before enrolling in PLC and ARC, a significant shift in timing that could allow more informed decisions, but may compress the planning window for each U.S. producer. At the same time, enrollment for the dairy margin coverage began on Monday, January 12th. For more information, contact your local USDA Service Center. In other news, the USDA released its January World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates Report, and the 2025-26 wheat outlook this month is for slightly larger supplies, lower domestic use, unchanged exports, and larger ending stocks. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus Ranch. You know, Brian, it's always fun whenever we have you on because, you know, it's throughout the year at different times throughout the year. I remember last spring I asked you, hey, so what's life like on the ranch there in Dillon in Beaverhead County? And you talked about how the whole, you know, landscape was just coming alive in the springs, the bugs coming out of the ground, you know, the green grass, you name it. January, what's life like on the ranch? I was talking with some ranchers the other day, and I said, hey, come join us on the show in Cutbank. And they said, okay, I'll come down. You know, we're just feeding now, so we'll come on down.
Yeah, just feeding now. All those little bugs and birds got their blankets pulled up. Now it's wintertime. We just started feeding our cows 2 days ago. And so, yeah, it's that time of year where they, for us, you really get to know your cows. You're out there, you're going through them, you're looking at them. Our bull sale's coming up in 2 months, and you're looking at the mothers, and you get to thinking a lot about what's this program about, and, you know, you get to see. There's a few ducks left here, and the eagles have come back. We've got two golden eagles that winter on our place, and a pair of bald eagles that winter on our place, and there's just that nonstop connection to nature. Whenever a storm comes through, the elk come off the hills and down to the meadows, and so it's a great place to be.
Well, and great products as well. I've had your steaks, I've had your beef bacon, I've had your Reminisce Angus Ranch beef jerky. You can find it in some of the town pump locations across the state. By the way, we've got even now our friends in Missoula are able to listen in here in this 7 o'clock hour of the show as well. But so for folks that might just be hearing about your products now for the first time, you know, just describe your products and where folks can find them.
So you can buy them at the Super One Value Store, the Burnt Fork, both Super One Value Stores, the one in Hamilton, the one in Stevensville, the Hamilton Marketplace, the Burnt Fork in Stevensville, all up the Bitterroot Valley. And so we're starting to move into that valley. You can buy our, just look for Reminisce Angus summer sausages and beef sticks and kielbasas and bacon and breakfast sausage. And the jerky's fairly limited because the jerky is like steak. It only comes off of one piece of the carcass, and we make all those other things off of the trim, which comes off of everywhere. So for every pack of jerky, you've got 10 packages of the trim to sell, and that's why we're doing kielbasas and breakfast sausage and salamis and beef sticks. And so you can get all of those in those stores, look at them there, and it all comes back to one thing. The measurable difference about Reminisce Angus is we identified a flavor gene in 1994 in one particular bloodline. We've kept that in all our cattle. Every animal that goes into Reminisce Angus beef traces back to this one bloodline for flavor. And the reason I'm sharing that again is I've been sharing that from the beginning, but a guy heard about us in Washington, D.C. Their family's been in business. They own restaurants and delicatessens, and he heard about us when he was at the Four Seasons eating a Reminisce steak in Wyoming. He called me up, and he said, so I might try your beef. I've heard a little bit. I talked to a distributor, said it's really good, which, you know, he tried our trim. He took our briskets, and he said, what else? And I said, you need to take our sirloins. I said, most people that eat our sirloins compare it to tenderloins, everybody else's fillets. That flavor is so perfect. And he gave me the same old eye roll on the phone going, yeah, sure. So this was 2 weeks before Christmas. I sent him one case as a sample. He called me yesterday and he said, your sirloin is absolutely amazing. How many cases can you get on a pallet? I said, 35. He said, I'll take them all. And if you have two pallets, I'll take all your sirloins. That is amazing flavor. And so that's what we're all about. I mean, we have done that. That's a measurable difference. We're the only ones in the United States, according to all these distributors, that have done that. And that's part of our customer service journey. I mean, we're trying to find more money in the entire system to bring back to our customers, and then that money goes into the rural America communities that we all live in, and that's what we do. We've maximized genetics, health, and nutrition, and tried to help them with marketing, and this is the next leg of that.
Well, now we got to go to one of that guy's restaurants. You, me, RFK Jr., the Secretary of HHS. Now we got to go have a steak, all of us, at one of those restaurants. You like the way I'm trying to nudge myself into the steak dinner there, right? Right. Well, Brian Massart, always great to catch up with you. And yeah, this inverting the food pyramid is absolutely huge, and you're just a big reason why that is all happening, and this change is finally taking place. Thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to talk to you, and thank you for talking about it. You have been the most interested media that wanted to carry this story in the last 2 years, and I very much appreciate it.
Well, part of that is, you know, going through Billings Last Diet and their nutrition program, and you get it, that healthy fat is good fat, and even when you want to burn fat, you got to get some healthy fat. And beef is the original, you know, it's the original superfood. It's got everything all in one. And so, in fact, I'm in the middle of my diet tune-up right now. And yeah, the best thing I can do at come dinner time is to have some good beef. Actually, I even did ground beef last night because, you know, you can get that so lean now as well. All right, Brian, always a pleasure. Great to have you on the show. Fox News update, and then we'll be back in 60 seconds. If you want to call in right now, 406-294-0970, because, hey, by the way, that soundbite that you just heard, that Fox News update, I think Missoula might not get that Fox News update, I'm not sure, but anyway, the exiled crown prince, the son of the former Shah of Iran, he was on a CBS interview, and even CBS News was like, okay, this is like nothing we've ever seen before in Iran in the last 40 years. The people are rising up against the terrorist regime in Tehran. And they featured an interview with him as well, with the exiled crown prince. I'll tell you what, I had like 3 emails in my inbox today from Dr. Mehrdad Kia at the University of Montana. And I can just tell he is just brimming with enthusiasm and excitement to see the people of Iran standing up. That's the country he grew up in. He fled just before the Shah fell. So we'll have to catch up again with Dr. Kia. We caught up with him last week. We'll have to do it again this week as things continue to intensify on the ground there. All right, we were just talking with Brian Massart from Reminis Angus Ranch. I played this briefly last week on the show, but you might have missed it. Either way, why not play it again? Secretary Kennedy, RFK Jr., actually shared a South Park clip as this news came out about how they were, you know, updating and changing the whole food pyramid guidelines. And Secretary Kennedy on his X account shared this clip from a South Park cartoon comedy TV show episode.
The pyramid doesn't work. We've already tried it.
It's upside down.
What?
Sir, the pyramid is upside down.
Turn the pyramid upside down. You can't be serious. That would put butter and fat at the top. Flip the damn food pyramid!
Oh, now I want some steak with some butter as well. And when I get done with my diet tune-up, I'll go back to the whole grain bread as well. In fact, I was asking Dr. Dale Williams about that. I said, man, you know that Irish butter, you know the stuff that comes in the green package? You put that on some whole grain toast? Oh, my goodness. And I was like, you know, even if I'm trying to stay trim, you know, after I complete my diet tune-up, you know, is that okay? He's like, eat the whole grain bread. That's good. That's good for you. So, anyway, it's Dr. Williams approved. When you're off your tune-up or when you get out of phase one, I should add. Okay, let's see. Coming up right after this, I think we've got another great guest back with us on this show. Paul Perez is the president of the U.S. Border Patrol Council. That is the labor union representing our great men and women Border Patrol agents. By the way, did you guys hear the audio of the Portland police chief? They got this liberal Democrat police chief in Portland. He started crying on camera. There's no crying in baseball. He started crying. But it's what he started crying afterwards that really got people scratching their heads. It's like, are you sad that you had to tell people they're part of TDA?
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tell you what, this is so incredible to get a guest like this back on the show. It's a big deal to get somebody like Paul Perez, who is the president of the U.S. Border Patrol Council, the labor union representing our great men and women in the Border Patrol. That's a big get to get a guest like that once. But now to get him, I think this is maybe the third time we've had him on here in the past few months. Always get some great insight. Paul Perez, great to have you back with us here on Montana Talks. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yes, sir. It's always good to be with you guys.
I tell you, I was just up on the High Line of Montana. I was out in the Cutbank, Shelby area. And you, really from Highway 2 in Kalispell all the way over to Malta on Highway 2. So I think basically I end up going from Spokane sector over to the Havers sector there, you know, all on one shot along Highway 2. And let's just say I'm not going to give away any good insight that I'm hearing from our friends on the ground that are, you know, friends of friends, shall we say, but the folks on the ground across Montana's Highline are very optimistic, not only about the work that's already being done by our great men and women of the Border Patrol, but apparently of potential more resources coming into the fight as well.
Yeah, no, and you contrast that with what happened during the Biden administration. Those agents up there in your neck of the woods were detailed down to the southwest border and pulled away from the line, but not to secure the border, to help process and facilitate the release of the millions of people that Joe Biden was allowing into the country. And so today they're out there, you know, patrolling and protecting the country. And we've got a lot of agents detailed to the interior to help ICE and our other federal partners. But no, it's completely night and day from what you saw before.
You know, a big picture. I know I said I was going to start with Portland, but here we go. You never know what we're going to talk about. Nicolai Maduro and this incredible operation to capture Nicolai Maduro, federal law enforcement agents, along with U.S. Military Special Operations Forces, of course. This was all about America first and law enforcement and justice. I mean, you know, Nicolai Maduro was this narco-terrorist dictator who was leveraging our open borders of the Biden tester years. We had Tren de Aragua thugs busted right here in Montana even.
Yeah, you know, what people fail to realize is that, you know, number one, he was the illegitimate leader there, and everybody across the world saw that. But he was the head of a cartel. He was a brutal dictator. He was the head of a cartel. He was allowing, you know, his people, his Tren de Aragua gang to come into the United States. He was allowing his country to be used as a narcotics trafficking location. And he was just the head of a transnational cartel. And so we're glad we've got him in custody, and he's in the find out stage, you know. he'll be spending the rest of his time in a federal prison when he could have taken President Trump's advice and just left willingly. But he decided to play games, and him and his wife will be spending the rest of their time here in a federal prison.
Yeah, because she's a cartel leader in her own right as well. Yeah, you mentioned he found out. He's in the find out stage because, boy, he was allowed to be in the F around, the FA phase of FAFO for quite some time. But speaking of Tren de Aragua, you know, it's just, and I definitely want to get your take on these horrific attacks being waged against the great men and women who serve as ICE agents for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, following the, you know, the shooting in Minnesota where this woman rammed an ICE agent with her car. There was another shooting in Portland involving two suspects. And, of course, the media was trying to go into full-out spin mode. Oh, here goes ICE again. Well, it actually turns out that it was Customs and Border Patrol, you know, agents who were involved in that shoot, another justified shoot by every sense of the means. But that involved Tren de Aragua. And the police chief in Portland came out and said, yeah, well, I have to tell you, these suspects are connected with Tren de Aragua. And then he started crying. It's like he was so sad that he had to confirm that the suspects that were shot by CBP officials were Tren de Aragua thugs.
Yeah, no surprise, liberal tears, and you know, crybaby Bob, as we call him. You know, he went on there and made a fool of himself, looked completely weak and pathetic, and I don't know what his officers must be thinking, but that's not the type of leadership that I want in my organization. And so, you know, anytime you've got to go and clarify your remarks about these people that they were probably portraying as just agitators. The fact is, this was a targeted law enforcement operation that was going after what we deem the worst of the worst. These Trinidad Agua members are dispersed out throughout the country, and we're going to do nothing. Nothing is going to stop us. We're going to do everything we can in our power to go after them and get them into custody. And when they resist and when they impede and when they fight with us, we're going to take the fight to them. In this case, he decided to weaponize his vehicle and, again, was taken into custody and after being shot. But that's what happens when you take on federal law enforcement, you know. We're not playing games. We're trying to go after the worst of the worst. We're trying to remove people that should have never been allowed to be in this country. And you've got politicians and you've got, you know, these quote, community members, activists that are out there trying to protect them, trying to keep us from doing our job, which is protecting Americans. And they're against that. Those people that we're going after, these Trinidad Agua members, they don't care about these people that are out there protesting. They probably laugh at them because these are the people that would rob them, rape them, murder them if they needed to. And they do in so many cases. There's been so many crimes committed by Trinidad Agua and other narco, you know, narco terrorists and gang members and rapists, robbers. They got them. We are trying to get them out of this country, and these people are trying to help them.
Border security used to be bipartisan. If you were from a coal state like Montana, that was bipartisan. You're a coal state, you back coal. Doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You know, securing the borders used to be bipartisan, at least in rhetoric, right? I've watched as these public employee labor unions have stood silent, or even worse, have joined in on the attacks against our private sector union jobs, like our coal miners, like our boilermakers that work at the power plants, or like our miners in other mining operations. Public sector employee unions have attacked private sector union jobs. And yet, look at, I haven't heard squat from the, you know, Montana Federation of Public Employees. Where are these public employee unions defending their fellow public employees, whether they're Border Patrol agents or ICE agents?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, they're too afraid. They're still afraid of the cancel culture. You know, these agitators, they're out at, you know, 7, 8 in the morning, all night long protesting. That tells you that they... It's funny because you think about it. Where are the counter-protesters? Where are the pro-law enforcement? You know where they're at? They're at work. They're at work because they have jobs. They've got to support their families. They've got to support, you know, their loved ones. But at the end of the day, President Trump won the election on this matter. You know, he campaigned on it. Those people that support law enforcement, we see them. They're out there, you know, in these places like Minneapolis and Portland. Our agents, they get a lot of support. They get a lot of high fives. They've got a lot of support in the communities. It's not like what they're portraying, where they've got these angry mobs of people trying to surround and impede our ICE and law enforcement officers. That's not the full story. We've got a lot of support, you know, especially along the southwest border, the people that actually lived through this, the people that lived through the 4 years of what Biden did to this country. That's why you saw counties that were historically blue counties turn out to be red counties, because they saw what they went through, and they never want to go through that again. And so they voted for President Trump in numbers we've never seen before from these communities. And that's going to continue because, again, nobody wants to go back to the days of Biden and his administration. The people that would take over for the Democratic Party, the front runners, if you will, they're going to be far worse than Biden ever was, because they're true believers. Biden was asleep at the wheel, but these people are true believers. They will radicalize as much as they can. And they will impact the United States even more so negatively than President Biden.
Yeah, you make such a great point about how, you know, look, you go to the Hispanic communities, especially these border communities, they support getting rid of these TDA thugs and these other criminals that have come into this country illegally, because their communities oftentimes are the most impacted by that. And who are the ones that are leading these protests? It's the woke white folks. It's the woke angry white folks. It's kind of like when all the people in the streets of D.C. were protesting against the National Guard being in D.C. And even though D.C. is a predominantly black city, it was all white folks at the protest there, too. Even Dave Chappelle in his latest Netflix episode was making fun of that. Paul Perez, the president of the U.S. Border Patrol Council, always a pleasure. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for what you and all your agents do.
Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate having you. Yeah, no joke. Dave Chappelle was kind of mocking the fact that it was all these woke white people in D.C. that were protesting the guard. And all the black folks were like, hey, actually, we're kind of happy that the streets are safer. Same thing with the Hispanic community. It's a bunch of woke white folks that are protesting ICE and the Hispanics. Well, actually, half of the Border Patrol agents, if I remember right, are Hispanic. So there you go, woke white folks, destroying union jobs and more.
Fox Sports Update.
Third down and 12. Rodgers, time runs out. Ball is out. It's picked up by the Texans and Sheldon Rankins. And he is in for a touchdown.
On ABC at ESPN, the Houston Texans scored two fourth-quarter defensive touchdowns off turnovers by Aaron Rodgers. First, as we just heard, a strip sack of the Steelers' 42-year-old quarterback for a 17-6 lead with 11 minutes and change to play. Then, after a Woody Marks touchdown run for Houston, Kalen Bullock sealed the game with a 50-yard interception return for a touchdown. Final score, Texans 30, Steelers 6. Houston won its 10th game in a row. Moved into the AFC divisional playoffs against the Patriots next Sunday.
Hey, if you want to play good football, if you want to play good playoff football, you got to play great defense. Right? Defense, that's the least amount of yards allowed in Texans playoff history, least amount of points.
Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans in the locker room with his players after they eliminated Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers last night with a 30-6 win at Pittsburgh. The Texans got 250 passing yards from C.J. Stroud. He connected eight times with Christian Kirk for 140 yards and a touchdown. Woody Marks ran for 119 yards and a score. Houston outgained Pittsburgh 408 yards to 175. Next weekend's schedule is set Saturday. The Broncos and Bills kick off 4:30 Eastern in Denver. Then on Fox, Seahawks will host the 49ers 8 o'clock Eastern. Sunday, first up, Texans at the Patriots, 3 o'clock Eastern, followed by the Bears home against the Rams. One of eight NFL teams that needs a new head coach, the Atlanta Falcons interviewed now former Ravens coach John Harbaugh. Coaching change in the NHL. Eastern Conference worst Columbus Blue Jackets fired Dean Evason. You can listen to and follow the Fox Sports podcast at foxsports.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jared Fox.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies. Can't rule out a slight chance for a spotty afternoon shower. We'll have high temperatures in the low to mid-50s for Bozeman, but lower 60s expected for Billings. Then for tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a low temperature of 33 degrees for Bozeman, but sticking closer to the middle 30s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Man, we better have the phone lines open for Tuesday's Montana Talks because we've had a busy few days. You know, we took you to hell in a cut bank in Malta last week, and then a great guest kicked off the show Monday. Phone lines are open for Tuesday's Montana Talks. If you got something you want to talk about and you want to be heard all across Montana, a great guest talking health care on Wednesday. And then next week, we're at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas once again, but this time for
ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at SkyRizzy.com or 1-866-SKYRIZZY.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Man, I tell you what, I still got to play a couple of these sound bites for you. I've got Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, calling out the Attorney General of Minnesota. Apparently, they've got some tapes of him busted being part of this big Somali fraud scandal there. And then the other one, the Benny Johnson clip. I got to get to that one, too. Maybe I'll save it for when we got John Jackson in coming up next hour of the show. First, though, let's keep going with some great callers on the phone lines. We've got Jim in Malta. Jim, it was great to see you in Malta last week. What's going on?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Aaron. It's sure great to see you, too, and catch up with you. Appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us in North America.
Oh, it was great. Great time. I tried to get you on the radio with me last week, but apparently you had a protest to get to. I mean, a job. You have an actual job to get to.
Well, and I was going to say, Aaron, you and I were a little woke this morning because we actually woke up to go to our JOBs that we have. So, yeah.
Unlike these crazy crackers of the Democrat Party that are just protesting everything decent.
That's right. I was listening to you talking to Brian Massard, and Brian, if you listen, by golly, we're sorry we missed you when we were out in Dillon. Did go by his booth that they had set up there at the county fair, and was some very, very good stuff to eat there. We had bought some different stuff, and they had some samples out, and yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful product that he's putting out. So, and come to think of it, and you being from Glasgow originally, you know about the particular store in Saco that is infamous for hunters and fishermen and everybody else that comes through. I was eating some of their lovely flavored beef sticks this morning while listening to Brian
talking about the pay and save.
Yes, sir. Pay and Save, Robert Plouffe, and they've been making stuff there for years, and they do a fantastic job, and it's all locally grown, and so we try to support them as much as we can.
I think that's the governor's favorite little butcher shop in the whole state. He's always dropping in Saco. And then he picks up some Eugene's Pizza in Glasgow every time he's typically running through as well. A couple minutes to go here, Jim. What did you want to say about the Border Patrol? What's it out? Because I referenced, you know, the fact that I was in Malta and then, you know, driving all the way across Highway 2 talking to folks as well. What did you think about that Border Patrol conversation?
Well, I thought it was great, you know, and I know there's agents out there that listen to your show, and you know, it doesn't go unnoticed what they do, not only for our country, keeping it safe, but also how involved they are in our communities and help us out in different events that we have, and, you know, if there are issues, they're Johnny on the spot, and you know, I just wanted to reiterate that there's definitely some of us out here that absolutely appreciate everything that they do, not only for our country, but also for our communities and their activeness and involvement with our communities, and it doesn't go unnoticed, and we got their six if they ever need it. So
that's right. Yeah, I think they know they got the support of the community even in the midst of these nut jobs that go out there and attack them and protest and sometimes even cross the line with death threats and more, like we've seen in Whitefish. Well, Jim, again, it was great to see you in Malta. Great to hear from you today. Thanks so much for calling in. I'll sneak in one soundbite before we wrap up the hour. Here you go. This is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent calling out Minnesota's Attorney General Ellison.
That's part of following the money. There are evidently some disturbing tapes of AG Ellison in meetings with people who donated to him, them calling for political favors to stop the investigations. So we'll see. But again, I don't want to get out ahead of the investigations. It's going to be very methodical. And Chris, I can guarantee you, when the bear trap snaps, we're going to get these folks. And again, we're going to follow the money, whether it's over the two counties here, in Minneapolis, St. Paul's, or whether it's to East Africa. And there's tons of luxury properties, cars that have been bought over there.
All right, there you go. We got to hold it there. We'll have the Joker in coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Minneapolis or East Africa? I thought Minneapolis is East Africa.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire, and as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.